Hi there, I'm Deb Crow, and I want to welcome you to Season 4 of Imperfect, the Heart-Centered Leadership Podcast. This is a podcast where we connect, learn, and laugh together with authentic and courageous leaders from all over the globe. You will learn from leaders you haven't even met yet. You will gain new tools to add to your leadership toolkit, because leadership belongs to all of us. It is not measured by stature or title. So please pull up a chair and listen in. This is the Imperfect Heart-Centered Leadership Podcast. So welcome back to Imperfect, the Heart-Centered Leadership Podcast. And I'm really excited to have Genevieve King on the show today. So Genevieve, welcome.
Thank you so much.
And we've switched things up this season, and we're asking our guests to just tell our listeners who we love, and we remain in 65 countries, which we're super proud about. Tell our listeners a little bit about you and your background. Give us an overview.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm from Montana. That's where I am currently. And I grew up on the Flathead Reservation in beautiful, beautiful Western Montana, which is a very mountainous lakes, rivers, streams, just immersed in nature. That was really my upbringing. And so I grew up very connected to the land, went to kindergarten through all the way, graduated high school there, and then went a little bit south and attended the University of Montana, switched my majors around a couple of times, started with a triple medical major, and then ended up in education and environmental journalism. And I lived in a couple other big cities for a handful of years here and there. I was in Denver for 5 years and Seattle for 6 years. But for some reason, I just always came back to Montana, back to Montana. And I'm a mom. I have two daughters. My youngest is turning 21 in a few weeks. And my oldest is 28. And she actually just had a baby this summer. So I am officially a grandma, which is so crazy to say, the 5-month-old, amazingly beautiful little grandson, which is just the light of my life. I am an entrepreneur. In the world of education, I've been in early childhood education for, over 25 years now. And how that started initially was when I was first attending the university and I was in my medical major at that point. My father is a retired orthopedic. And so initially I had gone in for athletic training, physical therapy, exercise physiology. I wanted to be in sports medicine and that was my thing. But I had paused and moved to Denver for a while, had my oldest daughter. And when I came back to finish up school, I couldn't find a childcare facility to bring her to that I felt comfortable with. I toured all kinds of preschools and daycares, and just every place I went, I was just thinking, I would not leave my baby here, my child here. And so I ended up getting licensed to do it myself and got all my classes stacked on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then I took a few kids and stayed with her on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And it was supposed to just be a temporary thing to get me through college so that I could be with her more. And I ended up absolutely falling in love with it. I had, this little class of like 4 or 5 kids, and I taught them all to read. Some of them were only 3. And it was just, I just had such a ball. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is way more fun than going to school for 6 more years and, working around a bunch of athletes or something. This was like way more joyful to me. So that's how I kind of initially made the switch. And then I started my first school back in 2002. It was actually when I was pregnant with my second daughter. And I ran that school for about 8 years. I had actually 2 different schools. And so we had kids from, infants all the way through after school care for grade school age kids. That was absolutely wonderful. Loved it. And then I got an opportunity to become the executive director of a green business consulting firm, a nonprofit. And so I I kept my schools and had a manager that was running them for me. I ended up selling those schools to her and did the kind of green business consulting and, you know, really got involved in the whole slow food, slow money, farm to table, conscious capitalism, triple bottom line, which is people, planet, profit, all of these things. And after doing that for a handful of years and trying to teach adults instead of kids, trying to teach all these adults in business how to change their deeply ingrained bad habits, I started thinking, with my background in early childhood education, I had learned and knew that developmentally that, you know, those young years are when we have the most prolific brain growth in the whole, you know, in a human's life. And that preschool teachers actually have more influence on a person than even a college professor. Mm-hmm. It's when our default modes are developed, where our sense of self about ourselves against the world is developed. And so I started thinking, boy, if we really want to have this social movement of people being able to take care of the planet, we have to start at the beginning. And if we can teach children the importance of all of these aspects of sustainability and teaching it to them at the years when these become their habits for life, that's how we can make this big change. And so I opened Origins Education in 2011. And that was my first school that I opened with this new curriculum that I developed. And we opened the second location in 2013, the third location in 2017, the fourth location in 2019. And then in 2019, I was thinking, boy, I'm going to start franchising because this is going so well. Our waiting lists were all 2+ years long. And then I made the switch. I'm sorry if you can hear that. We live sort of near a train track, so they're blowing the whistle. But I decided that instead of franchising, which is going to be a lot more work, take the curriculum that we've been using at all of our locations, package that, and create a product that we can sell to schools everywhere. So that was the initial thing, and then COVID. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, I was like, okay, we need not just preschool curriculum, we need grade school curriculum. So I brought a whole nother team on and created a curriculum that goes all the way through elementary school. So we have full year-round curriculum for schools. So we have a B2B side, selling directly to schools. And then we also sell homeschool curriculum to families.
That's amazing.
So that's kind of the full scope of the background. What I do.
I want to welcome you to the grandma world. I'm new to the grandma world as well. And my oldest is turning 28 this month. And there's nothing like it. I'm so inspired and intrigued by the trajectory and just the aha moments that you had. So my first leadership question is, your style of leadership is very collaborative. And I love how you say, I'm a reformed micromanager who's learned to delegate, then trust.
Yes.
We need to talk about that because that's two big things that I see working with executive leaders and organizations at large. Explained how you became reformed and what was the link or the learning for you between delegation and trust?
That's a great questions. I think for me, it was something that happened out of necessity. By the time I had opened the third location, I still was doing everything. I had nobody in management positions. It was just me managing all of the teachers and I was doing everything. I was managing, I was doing the administrative side, I was doing the taxes, I was doing the accounting, I was doing everything. And by the time we had the third location, I was starting to feel really stressed out, not enough hours in the day. And so I hired the first management and I was very much just kind of over her shoulder all of the time. I knew how I wanted things done. I needed things done a very specific way. And, you know, in the business of education and childcare, it's very, very different than other kind of corporate, you know, things that you can be doing, right? Because it's literally the highest liability career choice you could possibly have. Here, give me your baby.
Yeah.
And we'll see you later. We're going to keep your children alive and cared for, you know, and many people that work, they're dropping their kids off at 7:38. They're picking them up at 5, you know, whatever. So we're raising these children. You know, their parents have them for a few hours in the evening and then on the weekends. So we're with them more than their parents are able to be with them. So this is a huge entrusting. And so it's a lot different. And you have to have a whole different way of managing people when you're managing people that are caring for your client's children.
Yeah.
So I was very, very, you know, kind of nervous and you know, over the top, like you said, micromanaging everything.
Yeah.
And then I just, it became a situation where it wasn't really relieving me of any of the stress or the workload that I had because I was still just right there. And it was, I actually gave myself more work because now not only am I managing all of the teachers, I'm managing the manager too. And so it just became a situation where I was, you know, really kind of reaching stress breaking levels, having more migraines and things like that. And so it was my health was being affected. And so I really just realized that, you know, I've got to, you know, where my job is finding the people, finding really good people, having, you know, really dedicated and clear training processes. And that was something, again, that I had to learn over time, you know, starting off small and then growing so much over the years, you know, processes are so important. So, so that really became a mind shift that I had to have, because I've always been somebody who kind of felt like if it's going to get done right, I have to do it.
Yeah.
And I'd been disappointed lots of times and I had to go through lots of people and I had managers that I hired that seemed great on paper. And then we got in there and then there were issues. And so, you know, I think everybody deals with that. People that are in management, I think HR is one of the hardest pieces of running a company and running
Absolutely.
A business, particularly after, you know, COVID and things like that, just because the collective stress that people are under, it comes out. And I think that was one of the things that really drew me to your work and what you're doing. Just that heart-centered leadership, I think, is so crucial, especially in these times. So,
you know, as a mom and a fellow entrepreneur, I really align with you when you said, you know, you checked out some different facilities, whether we want to call them daycares, private. I was in the same space as you. And I really struggled and I landed up putting my kids in Montessori because for me, it came down to two things. One, that mother intuition, right? And I had one kid who had to be stimulated all day and just wanted to learn and do. And the other one just liked to socialize and try things. And that's why the Montessori, you know, philosophy worked. But everything comes with a price and it's a really hard thing for working moms.
It is.
And I think that's why we've seen an uprise of the homeschool, which I'm so glad, you know, you've opened up your curriculum for that. So I wanted to just align with you and say, I was there and I know how you felt and you're dropping off the most precious thing in your life. You know,
Absolutely.
And when you're a mom, that's such a visceral, deep relationship that unless you're a mom, you can't explain it to somebody. So
exactly.
Very
yeah.
interesting. And well, I'm glad you pivoted and did what you did. Okay.
Absolutely.
My second question has permanent residency on the show. I've asked over 260 leaders this question. What imperfection does Genevieve bring to her heart-centered leadership?
That's a fantastic question. And, you know, I think that this imperfection is also a gift, which is something that's very common. I think the things that we struggle with are flip-sided often. But I would say empathy is something that it's a gift and a curse to have it so strongly.
Yes.
And the way that plays out in leadership, and it's something that I've been really working on as a leader, as an administrator, a manager over the course of years, is that, you know, I would have considered myself, if I look back on myself in the earlier years of my company, I would look back at myself now and say, oh, I was weak. I let people walk all over me. I gave too many chances. I created environments where people became entitled to certain things, and it caused me a lot of heartache. The reason that I was like that is because I was like overly empathetic. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a line. And
there's definitely a boundary for sure.
Yeah. And that's a balance. It's a really, really important balance. And particularly today, I mean, we're living in a really, really crazy, stressful world. And, you know, there's been this massive uptick in mental health issues. There's, you know, and so when you're dealing with employees, you're dealing with, we call ourselves the origins family. And so I've really tried to make a situation where employees feel like family. And, you know, that they feel cared for, that they feel heard. But that's something that, again, you know, the imperfection of like waffling from being overly empathetic, getting myself into trouble to like trying to find that perfect balance, I think is what I would, that's how I would answer that.
That's, that's a great one.
It's a work
in
process.
No, we all are, right?
Yeah.
We all are. I love the way how you framed how our imperfections can be gifts and the example you gave, because that's a great one. And it's come up on the show before, and it's one that has to be used with caution and with right boundaries. But it's nice that you have fostered a work family, and that's definitely hard to do. Okay, my third question is, I asked you how you would lead from your heart, and you said that you move from a place of compassion by genuinely seeking to collaborate from a place of resonance. Share the strategy and how you develop this, and maybe give an example.
Yeah, to me, resonance, you know, and I'm not going to go off on a tangent about getting into like quantum physics and things like that. But I truly believe that, you know, everything is energy. And, you know, when there's an issue happening, there's a disharmony that's happening. And so finding that resonance is so important from an actual energetic level to a literal level. And, you know, I think that collaboration requires harmony. And so part of my strategy is really getting to know people on a personal level. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I try to do a lot of, you know, team building, you know, what we're doing right now. This year we've had different teachers hosting get-togethers. We go from house to house and just have like a fun night. And so everybody has the chance to really bond on a deeper friendship level. And I think that really lends itself to team harmony, you know, and to longevity as well.
Absolutely. Know, and you know, I'm a yoga teacher, and I'm also a Reiki practitioner. And I've had this energy conversation with leaders, whether it's energy management, intuition management, they all have a place in the leadership language. It's how you choose to exercise it, process it, perceive it. And there is dis-ease in leadership. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to hear you say it from a disharmony's perspective. I love that.
Absolutely.
Okay, the last question I have, because I love what you said about the triple bottom line and that sustainability in business. What advice could you give to any entrepreneur, whether it's a startup, small business, medium, large? What experiences can you give from your education, being a woman entrepreneur and doing what you've done, to really maintain and have that triple bottom line? Because we're all in that space now. We have a climate crisis globally. And like you said, people, planet, profit. Does it ever get balanced, or is it something that you lead through to ensure you've got the right order?
I think it can be both. You know, the first thing I would advise people to do, because I don't know that's a common, you know, topic for a lot of people. So I would say, if you haven't heard of the triple bottom line, just look it up real quick. There's a ton of information out there. There's a ton of fantastic books. There's, you know, leadership, support. But basically, it's saying that rather than just focusing on the bottom line of profit, you want to focus on people, planet, profit. So first, the people that work for you, the people that you work with, clients, et cetera. Planet, it's obvious what we're talking about. And that can be, everything from, having, sort of green business practices that you use in your actual facility, eco-conscious lighting and eco-conscious cleaning supplies and all of those kind of things, but also, encouraging public transportation for your employees, things like that. There's a huge wide swath of things that can be done. And the idea is that when you do all of these things, automatically your profit is going to benefit from it in the long run. And we're also creating, being a part of a larger society that is caring about these things, which is what we need if humanity is going to survive long enough for our grandkids to have their own.
Yeah.
We're looking at some crazy stuff in the world right now. And it's, there's a quote that I see often that is, use your wings now. It's later than you think.
Yeah. And is the languaging of triple bottom line synonymous with ESG? Are you familiar with the term ESG?
I am. I'm not as familiar with, it in great detail as I am. Okay. I've heard them used similarly side by side. Okay. I think they're similar, but not exactly the same. So.
Okay. Because that's basically when you say triple bottom line and say people, planet, profit, that just makes me think of ESG, which is, it's just a synonymous acronym, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to switch to my Fab Four. These are just four fun questions. We want to know what's sitting on the top of that brilliant mind of yours. Okay, question one. Name a word or a phrase that shows up in your daily leadership.
In my daily leadership. The first thing that popped into my mind, and I don't know why this is kind of a goofy answer, but warmly is... That's something that that's in my email signature. That's my
that's
closure
nice.
In my email signature, which is just warmly. And it's something that I truly try to exude whenever I'm talking to anybody. So that's the first thing.
Okay. Second question, name a book that you've read it from any time in your life that was impactful. Who was the author? What's the title and how did it impact you?
Immediately, Braiding Sweetgrass, which is a book by Robin Wall Kimmerer that is an absolutely phenomenal, I would suggest that everybody in the world read this book. It's life-changing. It was just stunningly beautiful, and it was so resonant with all of the work that I do. I read it for the first time, I think, in 2021 or 2022. Is when I first read it. So just a couple of years ago, but it's been it's so aligned with all of the work that I'm doing that it just hit me, and it's absolutely beautiful.
I love that. Okay, the third question, I'm granting you a wish, and let me give you a little bit of context.
Okay.
You get to have dinner with someone, and it's a leader. And this leader could be living or they may have passed away. Who are you having dinner with, and what is the dinner conversation?
Oof, this is a hard one. There's so many people that come to mind, and I have to just pick one. and specifically a leader. Boy, that's going to take me a second to answer this in the right way. Honestly... I'm going to just piggyback off the last question because I would love to sit down with Robin and just talk with her about her story. She's an educator. She's obviously an author. She's a professor, but an incredible leader, and has developed such an amazing program. She tours all over the country and probably the world. I would love to sit down and talk with her. She actually came to the University of Montana a few months ago, and I was there. I got to be there. It was like a sold out. They had to turn people away. And it was just the most touching, you know, I didn't have a chance to speak with her personally, but I'm actually in the process of writing a book myself. And my goal is to get her to write the foreword.
Oh, nice.
So I am planning on being able to meet with her and sit down and talk with her. So
that's wonderful.
Yeah. I just want to ask her from the standpoint of leadership specifically, if she has any advice for me.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, it's been delightful chatting to you, and I've enjoyed our conversation, and I'm going to have you finish the show with our last question is finish this sentence for me. Heart-centered leadership is?
I would say heart-centered leadership is guided by the values of compassion and understanding and a deep commitment to both yourself, your team, for me, the planet and people that would reflect heart-centered leadership.
Thanks so much for joining me today on Imperfect, the Heart-Centered Leadership Podcast. I hope you've enjoyed the show today and have learned some new tools for your leadership toolkit from our amazing heart-centered guest. If you like the show, feel free to give us a rating and a review, and we always welcome your feedback anytime. If you're ready to master the art of heart, my new book, The Heart-Centered Leadership Playbook, is now available on Amazon, or you can click the link below in our description.